ahead and go to Matthew chapter 6 then, and we were in verse 25. We read verse 25 and 26, so let's go to 27. And it says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves?' For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." When I read that, that has always given me peace. Because I think, well, I'm doing more than the birds are, which is nothing. And so if I'm doing more than the birds, and God says, then I'm worth more than they are, and if he takes that good a care of the birds, and he does, we don't see him dropping around dead from lack of food, do we? No, but he's somehow provided for them with much supply on this earth, even in the winter. You don't watch birds dropping around dead everywhere because it's winter and in some areas there's snow on the ground. So where do they get their food from? Somehow they manage to get it and God manages to provide for them. So I think, well, gee, if he does that for them, we're worth more than that. He'll provide for us. And this whole passage just gives me peace. And it helps me to put my care onto the Lord and know that he'll take care of all those needs. He'll take care of all the needs. We don't need to be concerned about food, about clothing, about shelter. All these things he'll provide for us. He's a good, loving Father. And he wants to care for us and take care of these things. And it does tell us, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then these things are added to us. So it is important that we're seeking about his kingdom first. But when we do seek his kingdom first from a pure heart, from a genuine heart, then he takes care of all these things for us. If you've got debt right now, I want you just quietly, privately by yourself, you speak the amount of money that you have that's debt right now. And you call it paid in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? We were just talking about faith, speaking to things. I want you to speak to that debt and call it paid in Jesus' name. Instead of letting it overwhelm you or discourage you, you just speak to that amount and you call it paid. You don't have to get into your head and figure out how you're going to earn enough money to pay that off, how you're ever going to dig yourself out of the little hole you got yourself into. You know, God is good and he can dig us out if we got in. He forgives us and he'll dig you out. You just need to believe he'll dig you out and speak to it. Call it paid. Use your faith. Go ahead. We're going to take some time right now, right? We might as well be using this time effectively. It's not just learning about this stuff, because learning about it doesn't do anything good for you unless you apply it. So let's apply it also. So whatever those amounts are for you, you just very quiet. Now, I want you to do it out loud. Nobody needs to hear you. You want to speak those words. And then when you're driving on the way home, you know, you speak out whatever you need to speak out over that situation. But instead of being discouraged about it, call it paid in Jesus' name, right? Because if you're in so much debt that right now you can't afford rent or food, that's worse than the birds. So that's not lining up with Scripture, is it? So we already know God's will concerning that, right? If you're seeing, even if you missed it somewhere, he'll forgive you and he'll make it right. So you just repent for whatever, wherever you missed it. Okay? See, sometimes somebody can make a bad investment, or they don't move fast enough when God tells them to do something, like sell when he tells them to sell, or whatever. Okay, so you missed it, so you repent. God, I'm sorry. I blew it. Sometimes I've known people that haven't kept track of their taxes, the amount of money they owe in taxes. And so they got themselves in a bad hole financially when they finally did realize how much tax they actually did owe. Because they hadn't been saving for it, they didn't calculate, and then they were in a pinch. So you repent, and so what is God going to just beat you? No. Oh, well, you know, you made a mistake, so now suffer. No. He's a good, loving Father. If you truly repent, repentance doesn't mean you just say you're sorry. It means you're sorry and you change. Right? That's true repentance. Sorry and change. So if
tells you, hey, to change, he knows you're not going to go do that again. He's committed. I've decided to change. And how many times are we told to forgive? 7 times 70, right? Well, if we're told to forgive 7 times 70, and we're human, God can obviously forgive us more than that because he's not going to require more of us than what he's willing to do for us. Even if you blow it again, you tell him you're sorry, and you, with a heart that means it, you endeavor to do right. You just speak out that figure. Speak it out, right? He said he'd take care of you. He'd say, you're worth more than the birds, aren't you? Okay, but then now you may need to self-forgive. You know what I mean by that? Forgive yourself. Because as long as you're beating yourself up, you're denying his ability to help you. If you're going to sit there and have self-pity and be mad at yourself and not forgive yourself, then you're not moving forward. You're just making it worse. So you don't want to do that. What you want to do is forgive yourself and speak to it. Call it paid. Call debt paid. Call your transportation paid for in Jesus' name. If any of you have loans on vehicles, call it paid in Jesus' name. If you don't have a vehicle and you need a vehicle, call it paid in Jesus' name. There you go. Keep going. We might as well do business, right? Do business with them. It's really one of the best times to pray is after you've gotten a lot of scripture into you. Because it builds up your faith. Yeah, thank you, Father. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How about Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is recently moving on our hearts. It needs all of our needs personally are met. And so we've been praying for our needs. They started showing me that some of the areas are wants. But it's his will to meet the wants also. To start stretching and believing for more. Believing that the wants are met also now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's Psalm 23. I bet we all know that psalm. But do we know it where we're applying it? And we're believing it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's just go ahead and turn that. God's here to help you. That his will is to help you, to encourage you, to love you. It's his will for you to be victorious. It's his will for you to be an overcomer. Unfortunately, that's my opinion. Tests and trials come to us all. But knowing that, we might as well just deal with it and move on, right? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who has seen us act this out with goodness and loving kindness? Anybody ever seen us act this out with any two volunteers? This is what it's like. See that verse? It says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. This is what your life is like. Come on up here. You're going to follow me. Your goodness. Come on up here. Your loving kindness. Goodness and loving kindness. You follow me all the days of my life. You ready? You follow me. Surely, goodness and loving kindness. Everywhere I go, what's happening to me? Surely, goodness and loving kindness are following me. Come on, surely, goodness and loving kindness. I want you closer than that. Surely, goodness and loving kindness. What do they do? All the days of my life. Okay, have a seat. Thank you, everybody. But you know, does that give you a good visual picture? Sometimes people think the devil's following them. Or that only tests and trials are following them. Or hardship is following them. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that surely goodness and loving kindness will follow you all the days of your life. Praise the Lord for that. You know what's following me? Goodness and loving kindness. Goodness and loving kindness. Goodness and loving kindness protecting you. Goodness and loving kindness digging me out of the pit. Goodness and loving kindness always following you. Goodness and loving kindness always following you. Now, when you think like that, it's very easy to cast your cares upon the Lord. When you know that he'll meet your needs and he'll meet your wants. Now, how about this? My cup overflows. Now, if in your brain you think you're not quite thinking that, start saying it. You can speak to the mountain, right? It's just a prayer class, right? goodness and love and kindness are following me all the days of my life. Well, you wake up in the morning feeling something like that, and it starts your day off in a better way. You know what's following me? Goodness and love and kindness. Goodness and love and kindness. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. I'm not going by what I see. I said, my cup overflows. And I'm going to keep saying that until I start seeing it. And even when I see it, I'm going to keep saying it because I need to keep seeing it. I want to keep seeing it, keep experiencing it, that my cup overflows. And if you want to keep experiencing it, you need to keep saying it. Because I think a lot of times people don't realize how negative their words get about their own life. So we need to be very careful about the words of our own life. Why? Because we were talking about the type of prayer when you speak. You get whatever you say, right? So we want to be saying these words that are faith-filled. Actually, the reality is we speak faith-filled words a lot. They just may not be facing something positive. Have you ever heard somebody say they hate their life? Well, how come nothing good ever happens to them? Well, gee, that's not a good thing to say. Okay, so you want one change that. Casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. He is a good God, a loving Father. Casting all your care, all your anxiety, all your worry. Now, that doesn't mean sit around and do nothing. He still has things for us to do. But in terms of the spiritual load, we're not to carry that. Cast it onto Him. No anxiety. No fear. No worry. Refuse to carry it. Some people think that worry is being responsible. Actually, a lot of people think that. They think that you need to act worried if you're really responsible. And that's not really true. Worry is a sin. Sometimes people get caught up in thinking smoking is a really bad sin. Somebody drank alcohol. And yet they're a worry wart. Heard the saying worry wart? Worry, worry, worry. Worry, worry, worry. The human body wasn't built for stress. It's not good. We were created originally to have fellowship with God, to be in fellowship with God, right? So He designed our body not to carry that, but fellowship with Him where everything is taken care of. And so we need to remember designed us to be in fellowship with Him. We're designed to let the Father carry these things. Sometimes just because we're grown up in adult bodies and we become mothers and fathers, then we think we now have to be responsible, which we do. Responsibility is good. But we still have a Father to take care of us. In the same way our children can relax and know that they're cared for, God wants us to relax. He's watching our back. He's preparing the path before us. He's taking care of us. He's watching our hearts. He's a good Father. And so when you know your heart towards your children, to care for them, to provide for them, you can have peace and have a greater understanding of His desire to have everything taken care of for you. See, that's how we're supposed to live. And that type of a place of rest. No worries, no anxiety. Even if there are issues in life, and there are always issues in life, we're not to carry them ourselves. Remember, we weren't built to carry them ourselves. Built to be in fellowship with Him. Him handling our sins. Him taking care of our sins. Remember that garden setting set up? There's a garden setting. There's peace. There's rest. There's beauty. There's joy. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. You are different. I am different than the people we hear buzzing in the cars, causing that traffic sound, that whoosh. Rushing, rushing, rushing. That's not to be our lives, rushing. Buzzing is busyness, but a place of peace and rest. When we're not moved out of that, we stay in that place. We don't get moved out of that place. Staying with Him, staying with Him. Renewing our mind on His Word so that we keep our spirit in a place that's lined up with His Word and His will so that we don't become who the world may buzz around and think that's normal, think that it's good, think that it's productive, and it may be a type of productivity, but you can be productive in God, but more productive when you're staying in a place of peace. So then you can take your spirit can hear from you, can direct you, and guide you, show you about businesses, show you who the way to go. Place of peace, you live your life in a place of peace, but in God directs you, and God guides you. Never move by the buzz of the traffic. That's not your pace. That's not the pace you're called to go at. Perfect peace. There's something about perfect peace, but we don't see it very often. There's something very special about that. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but there's a deep spiritual peace of knowing you're right with God, knowing that God's leading you, going at God's pace. See, there's blessings in God's pace, but then when you go at God's pace, you're able to get the things done that are seeking His kingdom first. It means saving time for the prayer time, saving time for the worship time, saving time for the reading, putting Him first. Not just saying He's Lord of my life, but I'm Lord of my days. You see what I'm saying? If He's Lord of your life, He needs to be Lord of your days. Is He Lord of your days? You want to stay in that place of perfect peace and let Him be Lord over today. Lord over tonight when you drive home. Lord over tomorrow morning when you wake up. That doesn't mean that everything we do is spiritual. Sometimes He wants you to go play golf. Take an art class. Look through magazines, gardening magazines, or whatever. Enjoy and rest. But there's a place of peace that He wants us to be models for the other people that live in this area. We're not moved by them. They should be moved by us. They should be drawn to us. What's different about you? You always have joy and you always have peace. All this stuff just happened. How come it's not even bothering you? Because we're choosing not to let it. Worry doesn't move God. What moves God is prayer and faith. Prayer and faith. Speaking to things in faith. So there's no sense worrying about it. It doesn't help. And it's harder on us physically and spiritually and emotionally to worry about things. Turn it over to Him. Increase your numbers that you've been speaking about. Increase your faith for what you've been going for. Increase those numbers. Reach out there. We're a people of vision. You know the Bible says, without vision, my people perish. We were made to have vision. He created us to have vision. We're a people of vision. Vision, vision, vision. Keep vision before your eyes to keep you encouraged when you wake up in the morning. Vision. Now, we're still on prayer. I haven't got sidetracked. We're talking about the prayer of commitment, committing all your cares on the Lord, casting all cares, all anxieties on Him. These are ways to help you do that. If somebody's discouraged, well, then start thinking about the things that used to encourage you. What are the things that God's shown you about your life? What are the visions? What are the dreams you have? Even if you're not in a position for them to be happening right now, keep it alive and keep it before your eyes. Keep it going. Keep it going. Did anybody ever see that movie, Cool Runnings? Jamaican bobsled team? Okay, I like movies that are motivational. Or like romantic comedies, I like those too. But anyway, I liked that movie because it was a whole bunch of people that decided to go for it. And they went for it. And people laughed at them. You're going to be a bobsled team from Jamaica? There's no snow in Jamaica. And they laughed at him and laughed at him. And this team of guys just went for it anyway. And they had to be kind of creative in how they were going to do it and how they were going to get their resources and make it happen. Go for it. And they went for it. I won't tell you how it ends, but I can tell you this. They went for it with dignity and with honor and with everything that they had, they went for it. And you know what? That's a good way to live. And we also need to realize this. That there is opposition in life. And there are times where we need to team up like they did. It wasn't a one-man sport, that bobsledding team. There was several of them. What, was it three or four? Four, was it maybe? And they teamed up. And they were an encouragement to one another. When one got discouraged, the other team members would encourage them. And they stayed together as a team.
motivated each other as a team. And that's what the body of Christ is. It's like doing something as a team. So you should stay close to your team so that your team can be a support and a source of strength to you. And then something else happens when you not only are a team, but when you come together with the same goals and the same purposes like we're going to in this prayer time. Coming together corporately, wanting to go for it corporately, wanting to be a difference, be a light in a world that goes at a real busy whoosh pace. We can be productive and we can be effective, but we don't have to go at that pace. We can go at the pace that God sets, which is a pace of peace. There should be peace in our pace so that there's no anxiety, so we're doing things His way, calm. Isn't that good? And see, faith is really just trusting God. Faith is really simply believing that God meant what He said in the Bible and that He will do it for you. That the words that are in the Bible are the words that He intended for you to read and for you to apply in your life. It's trusting God, trusting Him to be your Father, trusting Him to be your healer, trusting Him to be your provider, trusting Him to lead you and guide you. If you have not read the book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, I recommend you get that book and read that book. That is a book that we will be assigning that later this year. But if that just is quickened to your heart right now as something you need, then you can go ahead and try to get that book in advance and read that book. But it'll show you how to be led by God so that the decisions you're making can be with Him and in Him. How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. It shows you how to be led by God. It teaches you, takes you through the scripture. So we will get to that class. But if that something is something that you happen to need right now, then you've got a way to get that information. Okay, we're going to go now. That was the prayer of commitment. We're going to go and cover the prayer of agreement. And then we'll probably stop with this. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. And you'll see very quickly why we call this prayer of agreement. So Matthew 18, 18 through 20, it says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth," got to clarify that, "whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." Now, that word, it shall be, the word done, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven, that word in Greek means made. It's like Genesis. If it doesn't exist, it'll be made for you. That's powerful, powerful. Whatever you may ask to on earth, agreeing, asking, it'll be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. In other words, if it doesn't exist, He'll make it for you. So the power of praying together, can you start to understand and see some of the power of corporate prayer coming? Now that's just in agreement with one other person, and we'll get to corporate prayer too. But just praying with one other person, two on earth, agree and ask. It'll be done for you. Praise God. God is good. So now you can see why there are reasons why it's effective to come together and pray with other people. There's one woman that calls me on the phone a lot, and I just agree with her in prayer for healing, for whatever she needs. We just pray on the phone. A couple minutes, 5-10 minutes on the phone, just pray. And pray until she starts laughing in the Holy Spirit. And then when she starts laughing in the Holy Spirit, I know we got the victory. "Oh, that's good, that's good. Okay, bye, Pastor," and hangs up. That's it. Just calls me, we pray, and every once in a while she just needs something. She calls, we pray like that, we're done. She just gets to business. She says she likes my faith. I like her faith. She's got so much faith, she just hooks up immediately like that. Oh, she's fun to pray with. But what's going on there is even though we're not in the same room, this just says on earth. She's on earth and I'm on earth. We may be doing it over the telephone, but it works. It's effective. The two of us coming into agreement, and we pray in English first so we know what we're agreeing on. We pray that out in English, and then if there's anything that's not finished, then we start praying in the Spirit. Two on earth agreeing. Effective, powerful prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we covered tonight, we covered the prayer of commitment, casting all your care, all your anxiety upon him, and the prayer of agreement. And we will go into united prayer and the prayer of worship, most likely. We'll do those two the next time we meet then. And then we'll be able to apply it and put it to practice as we meet. Amen. You guys were very very good listeners tonight, because I know we just went over a lot of scripture. This class, there is a lot of scripture, because I want to get the scripture out, because when we're finished with the scripture, then we can go into praying more. Amen.